Star Walker Studios presents Star Citizens United, a podcast dedicated to making the most of the future hit PC video game, Star Citizen. Greetings, citizen, and welcome to the Star Citizens United podcast. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker. Today, I'll talk about the expanded military ranks of the UEE, how local government works, and how news is spread in the galaxy of Star Citizen. Hello, listener. Welcome back to the show. Welcome to episode 5 of Star Citizens United. And welcome to 2015. It's a new year. This is my first time back on the mic for the new year, even though it wasn't really that long ago. Since last time, it seems momentous because it's the first time of a new year. Today, I am continuing my series of episodes focused on the lore of Star Citizen, such as we have available right now. And today, I am going to be mining another one of the excellent writer's guides on the Robert Space Industries website. And this is the third writer's guide. And today, it's a few different topics, kind of going into more depth on some of the things I talked about in previous episodes. So again, if you would like to check this out and read all this in more detail, you can find the link to this writer's guide in the show notes for this episode at starwalkerstudios.com. So the first thing this goes into is, again, talking about the ranks in the UEE Armed Forces, and we have a more fleshed out rank system for the Navy, and we also have ranks for the Army and the Marines. So I will go through these really quickly. Now, last time, if I remember correctly, we started at the bottom and worked our way up, but this time we're starting at the top and working our way down. So for the UEE Navy, we have the High Command Legatus Navium, loosely translated Diplomat of the Navy, Grand Admiral / Space Grand Marshal, Admiral, Vice Admiral, Rear Admiral, Captain, Commander, Lieutenant Commander, Lieutenant, Lieutenant Junior Grade, Ensign, Midshipman, and then our enlisted ranks, Master Chief Petty Officer, Chief Petty Officer, Petty Officer, Leading Starman, and Starman. So those are the Navy ranks. And as I said, we now have ranks for the Army. Again, starting at the top, High Command Legatus Exercitus. I'm not sure how you say that. Loosely translated Diplomat of the Army. General, Brigadier General, Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel, Major, Captain, Lieutenant, Second Lieutenant, Officer Cadet. And then our enlisted ranks, Sergeant Major, Master Sergeant, Sergeant, Corporal, and Private. And we also now have ranks for the Marines. Again, starting at the top, the High Command, Legatus Marinuum. Marinuum. Hey, if anybody knows how to pronounce these words, feel free to let me know. I guess you could spell it phonetically and send me an email at scupodcast@gmail.com. Or I do have a voicemail for one of my other shows that you're welcome to use. I haven't set one up for this show yet, mainly because no one ever uses the voicemail on the other show. So it seems like kind of a waste of effort. But if you'd like to call the voicemail and tell me how to pronounce these things, the voicemail number is 626-LEX-GMI-1. So there you go. Anyway, going back to the Marines, this is loosely translated Diplomat of the Marine. And then we have General, Lieutenant General, Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel, Major, Captain, Lieutenant, Second Lieutenant, Marine Gunner, and then our enlisted ranks are Sergeant Major, Gunnery Sergeant, Corporal, Lance Corporal, and Trooper. Now we're going to go a bit into how the local government works in the UEE. Life throughout the UEE is a wide spectrum of experiences. Imagine the variety that we encounter on modern day Earth. the various ethnicities, backgrounds, and belief systems, and multiply that by 100 plus potential expansion updates. Woohoo! Now we're getting into the possibilities of the social and political landscape of the UEE territory. The various ethnicities we know today have blended. Now it's planetary identification. The various languages and roots of names have endured, but you'll often find them mixed together. For example, the name Ivan Suzuki. So that's kind of cool. So we've established that planets need to lobby to be included and represented in the Senate. In an effort to keep this manageable, we'll break local government structures into two categories, unrepresented and represented. So going into the represented category of local government, this can include everything from Terra down to smaller population centers like Magnus. We have the Governor's Council, if I could talk today. What we would call nations are now called states, each of which is ruled by a governor. Sparsely populated worlds can have councils of two governors, while densely populated ones can have dozens. These council meetings are convened to settle disputes and create planet-wide laws by council vote. The governor. A governor is an elected position with a 6-year term and a 2-term limit, which can be filled by a citizen or even a civilian. The highest political rank a civilian can achieve is governor, by the way. Some governors attempt to run for senator after their term is up. Under the governor, there are 100 elected representatives. The number of constituents for each representative varies based on the population size in the state, but there are always 100 in office. For example, a representative on Terra represents 1 million people, while a representative in the smaller states of Davian might represent no more than 1,000. The representatives are divided and assigned to various committees and departments that oversee and regulate the infrastructure. Law enforcement. Law enforcement is broken down into local and federal police forces. Local police have their assigned jurisdictions, while the federal police handle crimes across state lines and report to the Governor's Council. Depending on the planet's location and status, they may be able to call upon UEE military forces for protection or intervention or support in cases of natural disaster. So kind of like the National Guard here in the United States. And now for the unrepresented part of the government structure. Life away from the population hubs can be tough. Once UEE inspectors certify that a planet is safe for habitation, usually the first settlers are members of the terraforming teams. Smaller forming corporations will often entice workers with land payouts. After that, the surveyors start showing up, looking for anything that might establish this planet as a potential population center. They look for rare or unique minerals, a confluence of jump points, things like that. The gamble is whether this world will quote-unquote grow to be something. They're hoping that they're getting in on the ground floor of the next Terra. These surveyors will snatch up land while they look. If they don't find anything of interest, they'll flip the land and move on. All the while, the poor will have been slowly trickling onto the planet, looking for opportunity, a chance for a fresh start. Usually, their passage is paid with an indentured commitment of some sort. These planets are also far from the watchful eye and the protection of the UEE military forces. While this can be an exciting proposition for traders who want to avoid federal tariffs, it also means that pirates and bandits can lurk around any corner. And that's not even mentioning the possibility of Vanduul attacks. Governments on the fringe act on a town-by-town basis, usually headed by a governor or mayor, depending on local preference. It's not unusual to see towns effectively declare war on each other. These settlements will usually have some kind of police or militia in place. At best, they'll have a sheriff or marshal in charge. At worst, the local townspeople band together for protection when a situation arises. This is Frontier Life in the Future. As the population on these unrepresented planets begins to grow, the UEE will dispatch political advisors to counsel the planets in the construction of their planetary government, emulating the governor-representative structure of the represented worlds. In the early phases of planetary development, there is very little difference between citizens and civilians. Everybody has to pull their own weight. As the population grows, that distinction begins to come into play. Civilians and citizens both vote to elect local politicians. The Governor's Council applies to the UEE for recognition. If accepted, citizens are the only ones able to vote in senatorial elections. And now I'll talk a little bit about imperial law versus local law. As part of the UEE, in theory, even the smallest settlements have access to and are subject to the full breadth of UEE laws. Enforcement of these laws is tricky, especially when you get to smaller settlements. In short, they basically go unenforced until someone decides to start enforcing them. Local governments are allowed to establish their own laws as long as they don't contradict UEE laws. All right, so that's a bit more about the government. And now we get into some discussion of information in the UEE, entertainment, and the media. The web of information and entertainment is known as the spectrum. Many of the forms of entertainment from today still exist, just changed and advanced. For example, there are movies and shows called vids that are effectively all on demand. Books are exclusively digital. Painting is as well. Music too. There are still celebrities and news orgs still do local nightly news and produce the equivalent of online newspapers. Here are the current major news orgs. New United. New United has been a venerable news organization for centuries. Originally called the United Times, it was one of the last vestiges of the newspaper conglomerates of the 20th century. During the Messer era, the paper, now called the United Tribune after a merger with the Sentinel Tribune in 2578, became the unofficial propaganda outlet for the fascist UEE government. In 2792, when the Messer era finally came to an end, the news org relaunched itself as the New United in an attempt to distance itself from the sins of the past and pledged to remain unbiased and never buckle to political pressure again. There is the Terra Gazette. This is a Terra-based news org, obviously. It tried to maintain its independence during the Messer era, but was ultimately infiltrated and dissenting reporters were ostracized as the news org was incorporated into the propaganda machine. Now the Terra Gazette is primarily viewed as an opinionated, almost patronizing news source. And we have SSN/CATV. This is a primarily vid-based news org. It operates subsidiary channels in almost every system. Full of pundit-driven debate shows like Showdown as well as straight newscasts. And then we have the question, how does distance affect the news and information? For a broad overview, information takes time to spread. There is no such thing as instantaneous communication between systems. For that reason, news can be slow to spread throughout the UEE. The news orgs are constantly relaying information back and forth throughout the systems, barring the destruction of comm relays or drones. While we're still too early in development to be able to ascribe a specific time to the information decay, in other words, the amount of time that passes between when an event happens or is reported to when it reaches the various systems, you can assume that extra system news will be reported at least hours and often days later. So if you imagine a newscast, they would probably lead off with any local news, then recap with appropriate timestamps any updates from around the UEE. Newspapers have local editions for the major markets as well. So we are seeing some parallels here in this, galactic empire of humanity as far as how news is disseminated, we're seeing some parallels to how things were here on Earth, you know, before the advent of television and radio and the internet. You know, you're getting local news in real time, and then the farther away outside news is coming from, the more of a delay there is. And, you know, presumably there are juicy bits of news that never get reported beyond the local level. And that is something that even still can happen today. Although with the popularity of the internet and, you know, bloggers and YouTubers, I think it's becoming harder and harder to keep a lid on local things that outsiders might find interesting. So this will be an interesting thing to kind of keep an eye on as this develops and as we start playing the game and how this comes into play. I am really hoping and feel fairly certain that there will be an aspect to this in gameplay where, you know, you might actually be able to spread, you know, some gossip. You might be in some fringe system and something really interesting happens, and you're able to fly to some place like maybe Terra or someplace farther away and, you know, be the one to tell people about this thing that happened that no one's heard about yet. So that could be fun. There might even be a way to make money doing that. Maybe that will be kind of a way. I don't know if you can make a living doing that. It'd be cool if you could, kind of like a parallel to like you know, the idea of the old time bard, you know, going from place to place, spreading news and rumor. That would be kind of fun. So who knows? That could be an interesting thing that might develop in the game. So that is the gist of that writer's guide. Again, you can go check out the original article itself on Robert Space Industries. You can find a link in the show notes at starwalkerstudios.com. Next week, I'm going to be covering another one of these. This one is all about corporations and how that works in Star Citizen. And I think that will be really interesting to us, because some of us may one day own or run corporations in Star Citizen. So this will be really cool. I would love to hear from you what you think about these lore episodes. Sometimes I'm worried, especially the last couple ones, when I start talking about government structure, I worry that it's kind of dry, even boring. So let me know what you think. I know I've gotten some positive feedback from people about the lore episodes. People think that it's a cool thing to talk about. A lot of us don't have a ton of time to dig through the website and find the stuff and read this stuff. And, you know, we're all curious about the game and how things like this are going to work in the game. And so for some of us, you know, being able to get this in podcast form so you can listen to it on your commute or while you're working out or whatever is a great thing. But I do worry that it gets a little dry. So if you have an opinion one way or another, let me know. You know, if you like these and you want me to keep doing them, or if you think it's kind of boring and you want me not to do them anymore, or maybe intersperse it with other content or something like that. So I thought about going into another article today. The next one in the series is on corporations, but I feel like that's enough for you to absorb in one episode. So this will be a little bit shorter today, but the article next week on corporations looks like it has quite a bit more information on it. So we're done talking about government now, I think, at least for the meantime. And we're going to start talking about some other topics in Star Citizen. So ultimately, in a way, you know, we're kind of spinning our wheels here, right? You know, we've got the Arena Commander modules out. You know, we've got dogfighting, we've got racing. You know, those have been out for a while, especially the dogfighting. It's been out for quite a while. So, you know, me personally, I feel like I've kind of, you know, done everything I can do. Sometimes I just go in and dogfight just because it's, you know, it's fun. But there's not really anything new to experience right now. So, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to the first chapter of Squadron 42 coming out. I'm definitely looking forward, of course, to the full game coming out. And, you know, when those things start happening, there will be a lot more to talk about on the show. But for right now, you know, we're kind of spinning our wheels. We're kind of treading water. And, you know, I really debated about whether or not to even begin this show now. I originally, you know, I've been planning to do a Star Citizen podcast for a long time. And I originally was thinking I would wait until launch or shortly before launch. But that's who knows how far away, quite a ways. And there are things to talk about, and I am really excited about this game. And I know a lot of other people are really excited about this game, too. So, you know, I want to keep this show going. I want to keep it going on a weekly basis. And I think the half hour format works right now when, you know, news is a little sparse. But who knows when the game launches and there's so much more to talk about, maybe I'll go to a longer format. We'll have to see. So that's going to wrap up episode 5 of Star Citizens United. If you would like to reach me, you can email me at scupodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Google+. Just look for Lex Starwalker. And you can follow me on Twitter at Lex Starwalker. Please visit the website for show notes and links at starwalkerstudios.com. You can also find all our other podcasts there. If you like the show and you'd like to support it, one way you could really help us out, I'd really appreciate it. If you use iTunes to get your podcast, please head on over to iTunes, find Star Citizens United in the iStore, and please leave a rating and or a review. I would really appreciate it. It will really help new listeners find the show. So thanks again for listening to Star Citizen United and for your support. I really appreciate it. I will be seeing you again next week. Enjoy 2015, and I will see you out there. This has been a Star Walker Studios production, your source for quality gaming and hobby podcasts. Please see all that Star Walker Studios has to offer at starwalkerstudios.com.